So we're going to move through the part now where we do some God business. And as I mentioned, what's going to happen is the senior leadership team is going to stand down. Steve is going to come and bring us a message. We are going to joyfully commission Julie Joachim as leader of River Slough. Woo! And then we are going to commission the four church leadership teams and the trustees into their new roles and authority in this new season. Then we are going to take communion together as the family and people of God and celebrate his goodness. And I just wanted to say just two things as we go through this today, that as a leadership, we firmly believe that God has brought us to this point today in River's history and for its future. And we will all have a personal journey in this that we've gone through or are going through, and we could be in different places. For some, it's going to be like, yeah, okay, well, business as usual, what's the fuss all about? For some, it's deeply significant, and that is deeply significant in a way that brings joy. For others, deeply significant in a way that may bring loss. And I just want to acknowledge that here and now, that all of that is fine and good, and God will meet us in it. And we had a prophetic word from Rachel O'Denny at our River Church family meeting I wanted to share on with you this morning that I thought might be helpful, which was that what's happening in River is like the kids are growing up and leaving home. The churches are growing up, they're maturing, they're leaving home, they're going on to start their independent lives. And as parents, Jonathan and I have gone through that over the last year, and it brings some sadness, doesn't it? Because you know things are changing, but it brings a great joy because you know those children are going to be going on and establishing themselves and making their way in the world and having an impact as they go. And you know you're still related. You still love one another. You're still part of the same family. Your DNA is still there together. You just have to work a bit harder, a bit differently at staying in relationship. But those times together are sweet and precious, and you build a new strength of relationship. So I want to encourage you with that prophetic word this morning. And I just want to encourage you to, with the word courage. I brought this word several times to River Church with this exact thingy we gave out, little cards, some years ago. Let's be courageous for our people and the cities of our God. Change can feel scary. It can feel unwelcome as we have to leave what we know for what we don't know. But as the River people of God, we are courageous people. And we are going to be courageous to bring the life of Jesus and his kingdom wherever we are. We're going to be courageous in looking on the face of Christ, which is where it all begins. We're going to be courageous in loving everyone we meet and loving one another in our church family strongly and deeply so the world can see who Jesus is. And we're going to be courageous in living like heaven is near. I really believe as we go through this transition, things are going to be released to us in the spiritual realm that we have not yet experienced. So this is a time to look ahead with hope and expectation. And as we do that, we launch into this new season. The senior team are going to stand down, and I'd actually like to ask the members of the senior team, they don't want to do this, will you come and stand up here with me, please? And that's Simon, Anthea, Ian, just Andy taking a slurp of water, and we have Colin. Colin can't be here today, sadly. He is isolating. I'm hoping he might turn up on the screen. We've got a special thing. We think he may be projected up there at some point. Spotlight. We'll see. Can we spotlight Simon? Spotlight Colin. Hello, Simon. And see if he arrives. What I just want to say is it has been the greatest honour to have led River, and it has been a massive honour to have worked with this team of people. And I just want to tell you that these guys are extraordinary people. They are gifted, they are talented, they have given themselves wholeheartedly to River Church, often behind the scenes where none of you have seen. And their love for God and their passion for God and their tenacity in holding into Him has been extraordinary. There's Colin. we see you. And I want to profoundly thank them personally for walking with me on this journey over the last 3 years, and on behalf of all of you, because they have been amazing. Ian and Simon are also trustees, and they have worked tirelessly at that. Simon is just standing down as a trustee, and we thank you, Simon, for all you've done with River Finances. You've been amazing. You really have been amazing. And I think Mike is just about to hurtle up to the front. That's hurtling Mike style. What can I say? That was a hurtle. Mike, you need a microphone. Is the other microphone there? Thanks.
Good morning, everybody. Well, Kerry said it all in terms of thanking the senior leadership team. It's an interesting dynamic between the trustees and the senior leaders, because, of course, the senior leaders have overall spiritual responsibility for the leadership of the church. And then the trustees have the sort of the governance side, which is it's important. But of course, we always bow to the senior leadership team. And I do want to add my thanks to the senior leadership team. That dynamic between the trustees and the senior leadership team has been spot on, because there's mutual respect. And that's the kind of relationship that I think is important that we build on now, as the trustees seek to build a new relationship with each of the church leadership's team. And I just pray that that same level of respect and continues in the future. I've got some cards for you all, just by way of saying thank you. They're all named. So, Anthea, there's one for you. Colin, there's one for you, which we'll get to. Simon, and a special thank you to Simon. He has been, I don't know how many hats he's worn, senior leader, trustee. He's been chairman of trustees for quite a while before I was. And, of course, he's been treasurer, which is the job, it's the one job I don't ever want, frankly. and there's a vacancy, by the way. So,
sell it.
Ian, thanks, Ian. And, of course, Andy, thank you very much. And in addition, we've all wanted to say thank you, and we all will be saying thank you. Many of us have already said thank you, and a few more will in the future. This is not making sense. But what we've done is we've created a thank you book to each of the senior leadership teams, and many of you have already contributed to this. I'm going to take this back from you at the end of the service, because we're going to send it around the churches, because we've not been able to have everybody here today. We're going to send it around the various churches. So, Andy, that's one for you, which I'll give and then take away shortly. Kerry, for yourself. So, Kerry, I've not given you a card. You'll be getting a card in a moment. All right.
I wasn't feeling missed out. It's
Simon,
fine.
That's for you. Ian. Anthea. And there's one in the bag for you, Colin, which will be coming to you, Colin, in due course. So that's it. Let's just give them all a big round of applause. Fantastic job, they've done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks, guys. Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much. And if we can keep Colin on the screen. Colin, I've no idea where to look, so that I look like I'm looking at you. Hello, Colin. We also just want to say a special thank you to Colin, who, as part of the senior leadership team and the central roles going down, Colin's central leadership role was made, paid role was made redundant, and Colin's received a redundancy payment, but we wanted to add our thanks to you, Colin. We wanted to say a massive thank you to you. Colin's been employed by River for over 15 years in one role or another. His contribution contribution to us as a church has been extraordinary. And personally, he's mentored me. He's developed my leadership. He's been really great. And I think we all owe a great debt of gratitude and love to Colin. So, Colin, thank you very, very much. And everybody's going to give you a round of applause. And I'm now going to hand over to Anthea. It says here, hand over to Anthea. Anthea, hello. Have this microphone, Anthea.
Thank you. So, last but not least, we need to thank Kerry. So, I have... Go and clap in a minute. I've got some things to say.
Thank you, Anthea. Thank
it's difficult to juggle microphones and cards and... There's a gift from all of us to you. So when I was thinking about what to say, I think I didn't understand what it meant to be a church leader until I was one. I didn't understand what it was to carry the weight of a church and what it means spiritually and what it means on a day-to-day basis until I stepped up to be one. So I do understand everything that Kerry has carried in the last 4 or so years. But I also wouldn't be stood here today if it wasn't for Kerry, her mentoring, her support, her regular checking in, her wisdom, her developing me as a leader. So I know I wouldn't be stood here today if it wasn't for Kerry, but I believe that I don't think any of us would be stood here or sat here today if it wasn't for Kerry and how she's led us in the last 4 years. So our sincere thanks. And I would just like to just pray for you, if that's okay. If we could all stand. I want to pray a prayer of release over Kerry this morning. I think it's really important that we all reach our hands out and we pray release. And it's just very simple. Kerry, I felt the Lord saying, he's so pleased with you. So pleased. Everything that you have brought. And you know that he has seen you in the secret places. And you know that he's seen you in the public places. And you know that he knows the cost and the joy. And he sees everything. And he's pleased. He's pleased with you. So I pray release now. We release you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We release you into all that God has for you next. And release you in grace and in peace. Peace to you, Kerry, in these next steps. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that and value it. And as I said, it has been the greatest honour to have led River Church over the last few years. So thank you. For... What did she say? And I look forward to what is to come. We're going to hear from Steve now. Steve, we are delighted to have you with us. And I just would like to thank Steve again publicly in front of all of you for his support and wisdom and guidance in bringing us through to this day, really. Steve was extraordinary during our facilitation days. We thank you for your wisdom, your kindness to us, for bearing with us as we bumbled along. And Steve's going to come and speak now, and then we'll be commissioning the varying teams. So, Steve, you're so welcome. Come on up.
Thank you, Kerry. And it's great to be with you. And those who are watching online, I've entered into your lounge, and it's great to be in your lounges as well. And Colin, particularly, I'm sad you're not here, but I think I look around at so many friends. That are here. I have to confess, we're wearing the mask, and it's not always easy to realise who it is. Thank you. Yeah, for taking the mask off, I appreciate that. But I just want you to also know what my fond memories of my involvement with you over many, many years now, and the journey that we've walked on over the last few months. With the senior leadership team. It's been an absolute privilege to be part of this process. And I have to say, Kerry made contact with me and we had a little conversation, and then I began to meet with the team. And I confess that where we have ended up today is not where I expected us to end up. But the journey that we went on as a leadership team has led me just to a deep sense of conviction that is God who has guided us to this place. We aren't here by chance. I don't believe it's by human design. I believe actually the Holy Spirit guided us through it. And the level of togetherness through the process, the willingness to engage, at times at painful conversations, but to come to a place of conviction that we ought to be moving in this direction. And the fact that I'm just delighted to be able to be with you as we take this next step into the future of what is now going to be four churches, but uniquely four churches that are in committed relationship with each other. The scriptures are full of exhortations to us to remember. And the children of Israel, they rehearsed the great events that have taken place in their interaction with Yahweh, with the Lord, with God. They were instructed to tell their children of all that had happened. They had festivals to celebrate the big events that had taken place. A lot of their religious practices were enabling them to rehearse and to remember what God had done with them. They built monuments at key places where God had met with them. But today is not primarily about remembering. In fact, the scripture that I'm going to read, or we're going to read together, exhorts us to forget, and we're gonna explore what the Apostle Paul says. So, if you've got your Bibles, whether you're at home or in the room here, why don't you turn with me to Philippians, and we're going to read from Philippians chapter 3. Paul is in prison as he writes this. It's probably about AD 55, 56. There's some debate as to where he was, but I'm pretty convinced he was in Ephesus at the time. And so he's writing to this church in Philippi, northern Greece. And he's using one of his favorite metaphors for the church. He's using the metaphor of the Christian life. It is the metaphor of the race. And he uses it on a number of occasions. And we're going to read it in chapter 3 from verse 12. "Not that I have already obtained all this," says the Apostle Paul, "or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, the Apostle Paul had had much he could say regarding what had been achieved thus far. I mean, he could have chosen to rehearse the churches that he'd planted. He could choose to talk about the impact he had in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, the call of God upon his life. You know, that great Paul, that almost the deal he did with Peter, you look after the Jews and I'll take the rest of the world. Those that had come to Christ through the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul is very clear in what we've just read in that passage. He's clear that he hasn't arrived. He's clear that this isn't the end of the race from him, despite the fact that he's actually in prison in Ephesus, but potentially his life under threat. And yet he's convinced that this isn't the end of the race. This isn't the destination. He's clear that there's more. And I want to prophesy over you as what will be four churches. I want you to say this to you. There is more. There is more for you. Can you receive that? There is more. Whether you're here in the room, whether you're at home, wherever you might be, I want to say to you, there's more. Thank God for what has come, the journey you've been on. Thank God for it. But there is more. Today is not about looking back. Today is about forgetting what is behind and looking forward. I declare over River Churches, there is more. Today is a new day. Today is a day where we put a marker in the ground as to the future. Today we respond to the call of God to be even more effective in making the life of Jesus, taking the life of Jesus, seeing the expression of the kingdom wherever God might take us. The Apostle Paul in verse 13 says, "One thing I do." And then he goes on to talk about two things, actually. Come on, Apostle Paul, come on, get it right. Okay, well, we won't get into the kind of potential theological issues associated with that. But one thing, says the Apostle Paul, I do. In fact, the second thing is dependent upon the first. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting means no place for nostalgia. Forgetting means no place for the good old days. Forgetting means, but we've always done it this way in River. Let me say respectfully, for those of us who've been around for a while, I'll let you make the judgment, whether you fall into that category or not. For those who have been around for a while, forgetting means no place for retirement. Forgetting means no place for settling down. You might find this hard to believe, actually, but I have come to the age where people speak of retirement, and you're not surprised. I have friends that are retiring around me. I want you to know, I'm convinced that God's not called me to retire. That's not part of the vocabulary. I mean, some people might talk about that, but I don't believe God's called me to retirement. There's a race to be run. And whatever age we might be, however long we've been around, God doesn't allow us. Well, maybe he does allow us, but it's not what he's asked of us. to give up on the race. There is a race to be run. There's no place for baggage on the race. You remember how the writers of the book of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that the race as well. Again, therefore, since we're surrounded, says the writer, by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. This is the baggage, everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race. And interesting, the writer talks about a race marked out for us. Hey, I want to say there's a race to be run. There's a race that's marked out. And whether that race, there's a race individually for us as a group of individuals to be true to the calling of God that's upon us. And there's a race corporately for us to run. So there's no place for baggage, no place for hindrances, no place for sin. We do hold on to the vision. We hold on to the sense of calling. We hold on to our values. But other things are up for change. And I suggest change will be taking place. There will be experimentation. It's good to be able to experiment, to do things differently to how we've done things in the past. And some of those experiments will work, and some of them will go look back and go, oh, well, that didn't work all that well, did it? And that's okay. We want to give each other permission to make mistakes. Because if we're simply caught up in a culture where mistakes aren't okay, then we won't be courageous. We're called to be courageous. I love that call, to be courageous. Again, just look at verse 13. One thing, says the Apostle Paul, I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on, this is this race metaphor, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. River Church, there's a prize to be won. River Churches, there is a race he's called you to. There's a race he's called you to. He's marked you out for it. And it's going to require things of us. Straining, he says, towards what is ahead. Pressing towards the goal. Focus towards the finishing line. It requires us to be focused. It requires us to be determined. It requires us to be resilient. Then there's a unique contribution for which God has called you, individually and corporately. And if you're not River Churches, if you're not making those contributions in the settings into which he's put you, something's going to be missing. Something's going to be missed. And there's that prize to be won. For me, the ultimate prize for us as we run the race is the declaration from the Father, well done, good and faithful servant. That's my hope is, for me. I want that. I want the Lord to look at me one day. He said, I know you made mistakes, Steve. You didn't always get it right. And it wasn't, you know, but well done, good and faithful servants. And of course, the great news is he equips us to run the race that he's called us to. He doesn't leave us on our own. And the equipping of the Spirit of God, the presence of the Spirit of God is what makes this race possible. God, let's not try to run the race in our own strength. We can't do it. It's impossible. This Christian life is impossible unless we live in the context of the Spirit, enabling us to run well the race he's called us to. And so I thought it would be, there's more praying that's going to go on, but I thought it would be appropriate for us to pray for ourselves at this stage. Forgetting what lies behind, pressing on into something new that he has for us. And we're going to pray the words of the Apostle Paul, actually. I'm going to ask you to pray it along with me, together. Whether you're at home, whether you're in the room here, I'm going to ask you to pray it. I mean, don't pray if you don't believe it, but I'd ask you to pray it. In a sense, a commissioning of the Lord, the asking of the Lord's help in this race that he's called you, us, to run. But before we pray it, perhaps just to take a moment to reflect. Are there some things to be laid down? Is there some leaving behind that needs to be done? Just a moment to reflect. Are we at that place now where we can say, I commit myself afresh to this race? I'm refusing that retirement word. I'm refusing to step to one side, to get off the track. And perhaps just as a moment, just to do some business with the Lord. For each of us to make our response to the call of God to the race. Holy Spirit, would you come to us now? Would you meet with us? Come upon us, we pray. In our lounges, wherever we might be, if we're watching online, here in this room, Holy Spirit, come to us, we pray. And I'm going to ask you to repeat these words after me, and I'm going to do it in just in little sections. I've taken this scripture that I felt the Lord brought me to, and I've personalized it. And if you are happy, I'd like you to repeat the words after me. And we make it as a corporate prayer together. We're using the we word in it. So I'll say it and then you follow after me. We do not consider ourselves yet to have arrived. We do not consider ourselves yet to have arrived, but forgetting what is behind, we strain towards what is ahead, we press on towards the goal. To win the prize for which God called us. To win the prize for which God called us. And equipped us in Christ Jesus. And equipped us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Lord, let these words not be simple repetition of some scripture, but cause it to impact upon us, Lord, we pray. Cause the words that we've said, the meditations of our hearts, Lord, to be deeply significant as we walk forth from here into the calling that you have upon us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Steve, thank you. Steve's not going to sit down. He's trying to, but I'm not going to let him. Steve, thank you so much for those really, really encouraging words. Spot on for us, I think. We're going to move into a time now where Steve is going to be commissioning the Four River churches. But before we do that, we want to bring in a new leader of one of our river churches. So, Julie Wacking, would you like to come and join us up at the front here? Round of applause for Julie. Julie from Slough, River Slough. Look in the middle. It is with absolute joy that we do this today. I've known Julie, I've been working with Julie for a couple of years now, and my goodness me, it is just evident God has called her to lead a church in this season. She's worked beautifully with the Slough leadership team, who we'll introduce in a moment. But Julie, I've just really appreciated you, and it's with great joy that we do this. So Steve, just going to pray over you, and then I've got a word for you.
And there's a sense is I'm praying, but we are praying. I pray, but we are commissioning. We are asking the Holy Spirit to anoint Julie to this role. And as I considered this, Julie, I felt as if the Lord wanted to say to you, God has seen, God has heard, God has called, and his word to you is, thank you, good and faithful servant. Servant of his and servant of the church. And he's called you to lead out of that calling, out having been seen, having been heard, but he calls you to it. And so I'd like to pray. Why don't we extend our hands again to Julie again? If you're at home, it might seem a bit weird, but let's do it anyway, towards the screen. And Julie, this is a divine commissioning. There is a divine appointment. And I believe there is a Holy Spirit, heavenly anointing for you at this time. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and in a fresh measure to anoint Julie for this role. Holy Spirit, come upon her, we pray, in a fresh way, in a new way. We pray, Lord, that you might open her ears to hear from you even more. We pray you'll open her eyes to see, Lord, you at work, you in situations. We pray, Lord, for a fresh authority that comes from you, Lord, in her engagement with you and with engagement with your people and with the world that is around her there in Slough and the context in which you've called her. And so, Holy Spirit, we pray, come upon her, we pray, in a fresh way, even now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And Julie, as I was praying for you during the week, I felt the Lord give me this phrase from Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply. I don't think he means you've got to have more children. It's all right, Costas, don't worry. But I do think he meant it spiritually. Be fruitful and multiply. And I think that's fruitful yourself personally, because you have such a passion for the Lord. You have such a desire to see people saved. And I just believe God wants you to multiply yourself in that. And also that Slough Church will be fruitful and will multiply in this new season. Mm. So I just bless you with Amen. That. And I just say to you, Julie, be fruitful yeah. and multiply Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Bless you. I don't know if you sit down. Does Steve sit? You could sit down for 2 minutes, okay. couldn't you? Rest your weary legs. It's a bit of up and down, and what on earth are we doing this morning? So what we want to do now is commission the church leadership team. So I'm just going to actually introduce everybody. So when I introduce your leadership team, if you could just sort of bob up. Do a twirl, then everybody can see you. That would be wonderful. So if I start with Marlo, we have, I know they're on the row over here, we've got Johnny Ruffle, Phil Stewart, Tim Nelson, Paul and Anthea Ratter, Marlo, leadership team. Beautiful twirl. Paul has modelled it. Can you beat it, everybody? Slough, we, of course, have Julie and Costas Joaquin. We have Mary Porter, Dorothy Basham and Florence Peters. Woo! Thank you, guys. For the journey, they're over this side of the room. We have Rachel Pym. We have Diana Saunders and Linda Emmett. And Joel, I don't think, is here today. Is he here? No, Joel's not here. He's away. Is he still away? Nobody knows where Joel is. Joel is part of it. He's a nice man. Thank you guys so much. In Maidenhead, we have myself, we have Jonathan, we have Beth, we have Adam, and we also have Chris and Maddie May, lovely twirl, who make, can we pin them? Are we able to highlight them? I don't know how this works. Chris and Maddie May, who are shielding. Hello, Chris and Maddie. And we also have Rachel Smith, who is at home unwell. Hello, Rachel. Woo! Fantastic team, brilliant. Do you want to point yourselves down? And the trustees, I want to introduce the trustees to you. We've had Mike, you've seen already, Chair of Trustees, Ian Linton, you've also met. Alistair Handford, can we pin Alistair up there, who is shielding and at home as well? We have Mary Porter, again, Mary, another hat. We have Ash Sanger, who I've seen over there. We have Rachel Pym, again, another hat. And Lina Reed down here. Really pleased, a round of applause for our trustees. They are fabulous people. Thank you very much, all of you. So I'm just going to ask Steve to come now and commission our church leadership teams into their full authority, spiritual authority as churches. There we all are in our own right. And after that, a couple of people are going to come pray. And if you would like to pray as well, we probably haven't got time for the world and his wife to pray. But if you feel the Lord's given you something to pray, then we'll invite you up. If you're at home on Zoom and you want to give something into the prayers, put it in the chat, and one way or another we'll get it here. I think she says vaguely, looking like that's going to happen. Steve.
Great. I'd love to know, actually, who identifies as the wife of the world. are there wives of the world here that... is that gender specific? Or, I mean, how does it work? No, okay. So... I actually have got a couple of scriptures that I'd love to bring, and I would like to pray for the leadership teams first, and then for the trustees, and to do it kind of separately. And so I wonder if the kind of leadership teams could stand. As you are probably aware, scripture uses a number of words which describe give name to leadership in the context of churches. So you've got eldership, you've got overseers, you've got shepherds, and you know, actually they're interchangeable. People might disagree with me on that, but I'm convinced it's true. They're interchangeable, and I'm going to read from 1 Peter, where the word elder is used, and so let me read this, and let this scripture be, as it were, a scripture of challenge and a scripture of commissioning. And then I'd love, again, let's do the same exercise, that we're reaching our hands. The church is commissioning these people to lead in the context of the churches into which God has called them. So I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, first few verses. To the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. The commissioning goes like this: be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Watch over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, it's a wonderful thought, isn't it? There is a chief shepherd. Any shepherding that we might do is simply as under shepherds. There is a chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the shepherds amongst us. For those that have called to this role, We pray, Lord, that you might anoint them to the task. We choose to recognize them in that role. We call it out of them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that they might be shepherds, examples, not for gain, Lord, for themselves, but in serving the chief shepherd. So anoint them for the task, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. 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 Great. Thank you, guys. And if the trustees could stand now. And in having walked this journey and the exploration of what this shape will be, it's clear that there is a really important role for the trustees. And that right relationship with the elders in the church is going to be really, really important. And I'm going to pray for you around the promise, actually, that God gives to those that lack wisdom. And in James, the writer puts it like this in verse 5 and 6. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because anyone who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. And my prayer for you at this time is that in your role as trustees of these four churches, this family of churches, that you might have great wisdom. Let that be your prayer, but let's pray it over you. Lord, we thank you for these people. We thank you for their willingness to serve, Lord, at this time. And in one sense, as their role increases and the responsibility increases in that role, we pray, Lord, that you might give them extraordinary wisdom. We pray you'll protect their relationship with each other and their relationship with the eldership teams. We pray that they might know an anointing that comes from you for the task for which you've called them. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Great. Take your seats.
Steve, thank you so much. Now, Al and Julian are going to come and pray over the four churches. We've asked Al and Julian to do so. They are twins. There you go. They are founder members of River Church. And obviously, as twins, they share a DNA, but have different separate lives and existences. And it kind of felt like it fitted in with what's going. They are. I'm not going to get into this. I'm feeling it might get sticky. So, so Al is going to start off for us. And then, Julian, you're going to follow on afterwards, aren't you? Thank you.
What a great word, Rachel. Brilliant prophetic word. I love the analogy. Kids are growing up. And when the kids grow up, they get a bit more different. But they're still brothers and sisters. But they move into something new. And I guess Steve and I have been around too long because we picked the same book of Philippians. And as Steve mentioned, this book really is about a new community. It's a community that's moving out from the Jews to the Gentiles. So this is about a new community. This is about us moving out into the world in a new way. It's about us reaching out in a new way. And us praying for our leaders and for ourselves to move out in a new way into our communities. So just sit with that. And our prayer is Paul's prayer. First of all, we're really excited. With great joy and thanks, we step forward with joy in our heart, not with a sense of failure, but a sense of joy. The sense that God's going to do something. And we are so grateful for our union. We're still grateful for this relational charter that we're still together. We are grateful for our union. Yeah. Our union is really, really important. Yeah. We're grateful for our enduring partnership. We're grateful that this is something that is going to a new phase that we have all built together, whether you've been here 5 minutes or a bit longer. It's something we built together. And so we are totally convinced that the one who began this glorious work will continue in the glorious work with these leaders. We're convinced about that. It's just so exciting. And we know that you will faithfully process and mature. And here's the great bit. One of the things that God is going to really do to you leaders is put the finishing touches to you. It's like the painting has already begun, but now here comes the colour. Here comes the explosion of life. Here comes the texture. Here comes the light. Here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. The finishing touches of this great masterpiece of your lives. It's just beautiful. And that's what God wants to do with the leaders, who, by the way, are guardians and pastors in this context, which is interesting when we think about leaders and trustees. Because the point is, guys, the reason why we love you is we have such confidence in you as well as leaders. We believe in you. We really believe in you. We just believe in you. And there are some churches that just don't believe in their leaders, but we believe in you. We want to get right behind you. And finally, and this is totally ties into what Steve was saying, we continue to pray that your love may grow, increasing beyond all measure, bringing you into, and this is where it really hits for me, fresh, rich revelation. Fresh, rich revelation. Insights for your communities. Insights that will bring the supernatural, that will bring the lost, that will bring the grace and the kindness of God into the hearts of our towns and cities. That's what we believe. And finally, this will enable you to choose the most excellent way for each of your communities and for your churches. That you'll choose that most excellent way, the right way. It gives you freedom to express the excellent way for each of your communities. And what will happen? Fruits of righteousness. That's what's going to be birthed. Fruits of righteousness in those communities. And that's our prayer, and that's our prophecy over you, and that's our love to you.
Brilliant, Al. So obviously we're twins. As Andy pointed out to us, we have the same DNA. And as a church, as a, I actually prefer the word family of faith or community of faith. We have the same DNA. Actually, we're all children of the same father. So there's something fabulous about that. And there's something fab about standing next to Al again and doing something with him this morning. The last time we did that was in one of my favourite places in the world, which is Angoche in Mozambique, where we together brought what God wanted us to bring, but with so differently, but also with that same DNA. And I think we have that same DNA. One of my favourite things that I ever saw was going to the 2012 Olympics. And the verses that I was thinking about before this morning was in Hebrews about run with endurance, the race that is set before you. And at that Olympics, who went to the Olympics? Anybody go? Wow, lots of people. Okay. Paul, I know you had like an amazing day there. That was a miracle that day for Paul. So I went on a day where we went to the main stadium, and one of the things that struck me was the roar that went round the stadium like a Mexican wave as people ran around the course. Yeah, it was like just a massive roar. And also just the whole thing of the nations coming together. The Olympics just brought everybody together, brought us together as a nation, but it brought the nations together. And the key event that I remember was, I think it was a 400 metres event. I'm a good storyteller, but poor at the detail. So don't spoil a good story for the sake of the truth. So,
Same DNA.
And on the starting line, there was a very diverse group of people. One of them was a lady from the Arab world wearing a, do you call it a burqa? The whole stuff around her head and all the rest of it. She was standing there and you're sort of thinking, how's this going to work? Yeah, this is like the Olympics. How are you going to run in all of that gear? So they set off and they run around. And this lady is not a great runner. And she's so far behind. But the crowd followed her. And they roared for her. And she finished about a minute and 2 minutes behind everybody else. But everybody was still roaring as she took her way around. And I wanted to stress the diversity of what God wants and loves. Don't try and be the same. Each one of you as leaders, in that verse in Hebrews, it says, run with endurance the race that is set before you. You've got your own race. If you're running in a different style, don't worry. Alistair and I are very different. I've not worried that I've been different to Al over my time in terms of what I've brought and what I've done. We've celebrated that. And I think that's the other thing I would stress, and I want to endorse what Al said about celebration. I find change exciting. Yeah, I find it exciting. You know, and let's aspire to that change. And the final little picture was, I like doing my bits of gardening. I'm not particularly good at it, but I do like doing it. And I like going to the garden centre, and I like getting the plants out. You know, you get those like a tray of things, bedding plants, whatever, and you pop them in. And when I first started doing that, I wasn't very good at it. I put them too close together, and it didn't give enough space to grow. And I'm not a great... like most blokes, I don't read instructions. So I wasn't good at reading the instructions. I thought, actually, I ought to be reading the instructions. So true, says Kerry. So who is she referring to? I don't know. So I recognise I need to give these plants space to grow. And I want to say to you, give each other the space to grow. All right? Give one another the space to grow. And then finally, it talks in that bit in Hebrews about a crowd of witnesses, doesn't it? And it's quite interesting for me, like, so maybe we're not all running at the same time, and maybe there's some people who are watching and some people who are running, some people are cheering on. And I felt for the trustees, I wanted to say to you, don't lead. Be part of the crowd of witnesses that is inspiring, provoking, challenging, asking the questions, pulling out the best of those people who are leading, but bring the focus of cheering and believing in and encouraging this group of leaders that we've prayed for today to be the very best that God's made them to be. That's your role. So let's pray.
Let's try silence for a minute. Let's just be silent. You pray your prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the possibilities, the potential, the life, the joy, the love, the glory of walking with you as your people. On Zoom, there are a number of messages thanking Father God for giving us one DNA as River people. Just wanted to, is there anybody who'd like to come and pray? Yeah, come on. Nigel. Nigel, she says, it is, you took your mask off, it's Nigel.
Yes, it really is me. I was asking God yesterday if he had something that he'd just like me to share, and I saw a picture very clearly and very quickly, one of these aerial photographs of a river. It was possibly the Amazon or something, but where a major river reaches the ocean. And I was just reminded that so many of the major rivers of the world form deltas. And those deltas form where, in fact, it's impossible for the river to stay in one channel any longer. But it's still one river. It's always called one river. It's known as the Nile Delta, the Ganges Delta, whatever. And they have different paths to the ocean. But one thing that's absolutely true is the energy that's in the river never diminishes. It slows down in one way because it's diverse, and so there's not quite the rush, but there's still the same power in the river. And it's also the area where everything that's being carried by the river gets deposited in the land. And I just feel that there is so much stuff that we've been carrying as river down the years that we've picked up from God and from everything that we've done. And God is saying, now is the time for that to really benefit the land that you flow through. And, whoa, shit, hey. They're the most fertile parts of the whole river system. And from time to time, there will be a flood, and you won't be able to tell where the various river bits are. Other times will be times of deposition. But it's a time for the land. It's the time for us to give away what it is we've been carrying for the benefit of the land. So I just want to pray quite simply that that picture means what it needs to mean to each one of us, that we understand what it is we've been carrying, and that we just have the freedom under God to give it away, to give it away, to give it away for the sake of our communities, and to see that fertile, flourishing fruitfulness. In Jesus' name.
Amen, Nigel, in Jesus' name. Anyone else? Just before we move on. Yes, Gary.
Oh, my goodness. For those of you who are in Maidenhead, you've heard me say this before, and this is burning in my heart for this time, so much so. And this is the commissioning of Joshua. And I'm just going to read out this commissioning from Joshua chapter 1. I just want to say for us, Moses, who has died, that represents 45 years of brilliant history that we have had, and all the good that God has done, and our DNA, and everything that God has done so far. And when he talks about the law, we're talking about all the dreams, all the vision, and all the hope that he has given us. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Yeah, and Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the leaders in this room. I want to thank you for the leaders past, and I want to thank you for the leaders present. And for those who have been commissioned today, Father, I pray that you will make them strong and courageous, that you will give them a fierce determination to march forward and to lead the people into the land that you are giving them. And Father, I pray they will be strong and courageous, that when they see the giants and then when they see the walled cities, that they will not be afraid, but they will see the land flowing with milk and honey, and they will lead us in worship and in power, in your power, Lord, to take the land and to see the captives set free. So let them be strong and let them be courageous and let them be bold. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary, very much. Thank you. We're going to go into a time of communion now, which Paul and Anthea are going to lead us in. So I can see everybody reaching for their...